Today, we'd like to see the title, Crying Man, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. To online worthy people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 2, and suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a righteous ink horn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. What does each one of north, the one man and the bronze represent? Question 2 in verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. What can we learn? What can we learn? Last question in verse 9. Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. What do you think, where the Lord does not see? Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Now it came to pass in the 30th year in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. So Ezekiel was one of the captives in the land of the Chaldeans over Babylon country by the river Chebar. Because Jehoiachin's captivity occurred in 597 before Christ, the fifth year was 592 before Christ when Ezekiel's prophecy began. So now, this chapter 9 throughout chapter 8 is a year later, 591 before Christ, that he is prophesying in the sixth month, the fifth day of the sixth month. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14 to 18. So God brought to me, Ezekiel, to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, or my hopeless, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz, idol Babylon god. So God brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men over 25 elders with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east, and they were worshiping the sun god toward the east. Sun god was the major idol god over Egypt. And God said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing, a minor thing, to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here in the temple of God? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger." So they provide the violence. They kill the innocent people. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. That means they look down God. Branch to their nose, they look up heaven. So looking down the God. "Therefore, I also will act in fury or in anger. My eye, God's eye, will not spare, nor will I have a pity, no compassion. And although they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them." Then verse 1, "Then he called out," God called out in my hearing, Ezekiel's hearing, "with a loud voice, saying, let those who have a charge of the city." So here in this text, the cherubim is the plural form of a cherub. The verse 3 indicates cherub as one kind of angel. "Draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand, to make a judgment against Israel people who worship the idols. And suddenly six men, or six angels, or six cherubim, came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north." North indicating Babylon attacking from the north to be in Ezekiel's vision. "Each with his battle axe in his hand to slay people. One man among them was clothed with linen." This angel or this cherub is the likeness of a manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 5, Daniel lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz, precious stone. His body was like a beryl, precious stone too. His face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. So obviously, Jesus is not a cherub, because cherub, he is creature. Or not Michael, the archangel, is not Christ. Judah chapter 1, verse 9, "Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you." But here, one man, the cherub, is likeness of a manifestation of Christ in Old Testament. Not Christ himself, likeness. "They went in," they meaning six men, "went in and stood beside the bronze altar." Bronze, always a symbol of judgment. So if you commit a sin, you should bring a sacrifice, certain animal. So then priest take that animal, sprinkling its blood, then burning the flesh in the Old Testament to cover your sin. But obviously in New Testament, Jesus Christ himself was shed blood for us, so cleanse away our sin based upon our faith. Verse 3, now the glory of God. Glory of God is the symbol of God's presence. In the Old Testament, the glory of God was on the top of the Ark of Covenant, the lid of covenant in the most holy places, or the Holy of Holies. Here, the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, that cherub, meaning that cherub among them was clothed with linen, where it had been to the threshold of the temple. So the glory of God leaving from the Holy of Holies to the threshold of the threshold is the front door, east side. The top we call lintel, L-I-N-T-E-L. So right hand side, right door post. Left hand side, the left door post. The bottom threshold. The glory of God moved from westbound the Ark of Covenant top, Moses seat, then moving into eastbound threshold, now to east away, until Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 2. And behold, look, the glory of God of Israel came from the way over the east, so returning east into westbound on the Ark of Covenant. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. So Ezekiel chapter 43 prophesies for Israel's restoration. Then cherub, an angel, cherubs function usually to protect the God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, after Adam committed sin, so God drove out the man, Adam and Eve, and God placed the cherubim, so two or more cherub, so that's why cherubim, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life after Adam and Eve committed sin. Also, Exodus chapter 37 verse 7, so they made two cherubim on the Ark of Covenant, the lid of the Ark of Covenant here. God made two cherubim of beaten gold. He made them of one piece at the two ends of the mercy seat. Mercy seat is a lid of the Ark of Covenant. It is called as the mercy seat. Then, and he called to the man clothed with linen who had the lightest ink horn. Ink horn meaning simply ink cup. You know, ink cup is in order to write something. So cup, the holder of ink, that's called as ink horn, at his side. And the Lord said to him, that cherub, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, that put a mark, or write a mark on the foreheads of the man who sigh and cry over all the abomination that are done with him. So here, a mark. Original, Old Testament was written in Hebrew book. Over there, last word, in the Old Testament time, Hebrew alphabet, 31 letters. Today, only 27 letters. So last word letter, tab, T-A-V, but older fashion, that looks like cross. right here. See, this is a Hebrew alphabet. So Hebrew alphabet reader is right-hand side to left, the opposite way. Opposite way of English alphabet, right there. That is the last letters right here, top right there. So yeah, so that is a top last letter top. So in the ancient time, they used the cross. So this is a Hebrew book set the two top, T and two is vowel, two. So also in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15, and the Lord said to Cain, Cain killed his younger brother Abel. Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, here a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. This is a mark also including tav, the last word, but the pronunciation, the different wood. So that is all the tests from the cross. So cross, because those people had a mark. Marker protects and separate him from judgment. So protect them from judgment. In this context, judgment, slain, protected them from killing. So they, because they had mark, got put there. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, 23, exactly that shape is the last alphabet letter of Hebrew, tav pomer. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22-23, and you meaning Moses, shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel. Lintel is a top post of a door. The lintel and the two door posts, right-hand side, left-hand side, with blood that is in the basin. So that shape exactly, last alphabet letter is a top format last. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two door posts, that shape of the last letter, tav. The Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Because the blood set is there, so that, you know, protect you from striking or, you know, separated from being killed. Yeah. So that is basically Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 and 4 also. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of children of Israel were sealed. So also God put sealed 140,000 Israel people, you know, to 44,000 people. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, all born again Christian, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not work along according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, or who do not live according to the flesh, but according to Spirit. So, here so we can see. So, who get marked here? Those who have broken hearts to sinners. Here, idol worshippers. Like this, we should learn, we should have a broken heart to our neighbors who do not believe Jesus Christ or who commit sin, even Christian, so commit sin. So that's why 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, ask Apostle John and ask us to pray for them. If anyone sees his brother here, Christian, sinning a sin which does not lead to death. So all unrighteousness is a sin, but some sin does not lead to death. But what kind of sin leads to death? In the Bible, two sins. Number one, unbelief in Jesus Christ. Unbelief itself, that is death, means eternal death. Number two, Jesus himself said, blasphemy against the Spirit. Because Jesus healed somebody, but Pharisees said, your healing power coming from devil, that is a blasphemy against the Spirit. You know, that is the thing. He will ask, he will give him life for those who commit the sin. He will ask, meaning he will pray, he will give him life for those who commit the sin. So basically, pray for sinners. So either a Christian sinner or a non-Christian unbeliever too. So we should pray, you know, for them. So here, God put the mark, those intercessional prayer warriors for idol worshipers. So God is so glad, you know, for those people. Verse 5, to the others, God said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. So they cross, the idol worshippers, they cross line, and so God forsakes them and judges them. Verse 6, utterly slay, or utterly kill, total kill, old and young men, maidens, the little children, and the women, whoever worship idols, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. So to protect the holders of a mark from judgment. And begin at my sanctuary. Begin at my sanctuary, which meaning at begin my house or the temple of God. Here, more given, more asked. That's why James chapter 3, verse 1 said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a strict judgment, which means teachers have high standard, not is a normal standard, not lower standard, the higher standard, so stricter judgment. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. So basically, house of God, which means Christians first. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? That's obviously, they will be judged. So that is basically. So with the elders here, 25 men worshiping sun god in the east, verse 6. Begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Now verse 7. Then God said to them, meaning to six men or six cherubim, six angels, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. So make the temple unclean, defile. That is in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 19, verse 11. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. So that's why kill the people in the temple. That meaning defile the temple with dead body. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So actually later by Babylon, Babylonian killed Israel people. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, which meaning I was saved from the judgment to slay, or I was protected from the judgment to slay. I was separated from the judgment to slay. Like that, born again Christian, because of Jesus' bloodshed, we are separated from eternal judgment. We are saved from the eternal judgment. So all born again Christian to be cut off with the Lord who is coming again in the cloud just before the great tribulation. I fell on my face and cried out and said, "Oh, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem?" So Ezekiel, question. Then God answered. Then God said to me, answered me, "The inequity," or the sins, basically idol worship, "over the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. And the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity." Perversity meaning departed from God or the word of God. For they say, "The Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see." Here, some, they crossed the line. The iniquity is exceedingly great. They crossed the line. Or the given time of repentance is expired. Psalm chapter 145, verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. But God is not patient forever." God is long-suffering, but God is not suffering forever. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. "So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. The Lord shut him in." So God's time to judge is existent. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10 to 11. So here is a lazy five virgins. And while they went by, the lazy five virgins went to buy oil, the bridegroom, or Jesus Christ, came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Those who were ready of oil went in with Jesus to the wedding, but the door was shut. The time to shut the door is existent. After the word, the other virgins, five virgins, came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." It's too late. Then the Lord has forsaken the land. His time of repentance is expired. His time to forsake and to judge is now. Here, the Lord does not see the human thought, no consciousness of God's presence. This human thought is dangerous because rationalizing sin makes us easier to commit sin, but not to cancel righteous God's judgments. For example, at that time, innocent babies killed in Hinnom Valley because they worshiped the pledge god of Molech, so they had a lot of unwanted babies, so they killed unwanted baby as a sacrifice for Molech god. So they missed, they misunderstand. Our God is omniscient, he knows everything, and omnipresent, So this kind of human door the Lord does not see is dangerous. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 16 and 17, God's prophecy through Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and these people will rise and play the harlot with gods of the foreigners of the land," meaning of the Canaan land, "where they go to be among them, and they will," God knows already, because our God is omniscient, "they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger," God's anger, "shall be aroused against them in that day," in the future. "I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, eaten up, and many evils and troubles shall befall them upon them, so that they will say in that day, 'Have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us?'" So they said, "The God is not among us." Also, Psalm chapter 139, verse 2, the David said, "You know my sitting down." God already knows that my sitting down and my rising up. "You understand my thoughts afar off." God knows my thought. Also, book of Acts chapter 17, verses 27, 28, Paul said the people at Athens of Greece before idols, because the Greek people made a lot of idols, Venus, Zeus, and like that. But Paul said before the people, "So that they should seek the Lord." You should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grow. GROPE means search with uncertainty for him. So they are searching with uncertainty for God. That's why they made a lot of idols, and find him. "Although God is not far from each one of us, for in God we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." So we come from God, offspring. So like that. So therefore, the thought the Lord does not see us is not true. So God sees everything, not past, present, even future. God sees everything. "So, and as for me," verse 10, "as for God also my eye," God's eye, "will neither spare, nor will God have pity, will God have compassion, but I will recompense," or God will pay back their deeds on their own heads. So they will be slain. "Just then the man clothed with linen," that is the cherub, likeness of a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, "who had the ink horn at his side, they approached the back and said, 'I have done as you commanded me.'" So let's see each question answer. Question one in verse 2. "And certainly six men," this is total vision to be, "six men came from the direction of the upper gate of the temple of God, which faces north." North indicating the Babylon is invading into Judah, Jerusalem, so to be. "In each with his battle axe," axe is a weapon to kill, "in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a white ink horn at his side." That man is the likeness of a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. "They went in and stood beside the bronze altar." So bronze is a symbol of judgment. In verse 4, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark or tar, the last letter included there, on the foreheads of the man who sighed and cry over all the abomination that are done within it. What can we learn? So we should have a broken heart to unbelievers, also the Christian sinners. So we should pray for them to find their sin, unbelief, then confess their sin in that way. Question 3, in verse 9. Then God said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land when the Lord does not see. What do you think where the Lord does not see? So that human thought is dangerous because our Lord is omniscient and knowing everything. So, okay, let's just sing song together. Page 2, number 3.